Amen. You may be seated. My first question to you, if you were at the Palace Theater or you were at a musical on Broadway or you had the opportunity to be at the Super Bowl today and you could move up and have better seats, would you do it? I don't know. This must be a Baptist congregation because that's the way it was in my church. Everybody sat in the back and everybody's removed from me back in the back. But that's all right. If you're comfortable where you are, I'm glad you're here in the house of God. I want to talk about regret-free living this morning. I was at a seminar a couple of weeks ago, financial planning for retirement, and I liked what the speaker had to say. He was talking about when we retire, there are three stages that we need to plan for so that we don't have regrets that we didn't have enough money for our retirement age. But let's face it, we never have enough money for retirement, right? But he said the three phases we need or stages we need to plan for are the go-go stage, is the first stage, when you go and play golf, you go and play bridge, you go to the theater, you go on these exotic trips and cruises. You need to plan for those go-go stage of your retirement. And he says the next stage, and as I age, I could relate to this, he says it's the slow-go stage. You're not go-going as much, but you're slowing down a little bit. You stay home a little bit more often, but you do get out. And by the way, I was reading this morning's Waterbury paper, talking about a woman 100 years old that was out bowling, and she just quit playing golf at 99. She's still in the go-go stage, I believe, at 100 years old. But then he says that last phase is the no-go stage, when maybe we'll all get that way. I don't know. Hopefully I can still slow-go until God calls me home. But sometimes, as many of you know, I deal with I work for VITAS Hospice and Healthcare and deal with end of life. And that no-go when somebody's in a skilled nursing facility or in the hospital, when they can't go any longer. And this retirement planner was saying you need long-term health insurance, which is too exorbitant. So again, I don't know if we can plan for that. But I like those three phases of retirement. So if you haven't planned for that, plan for that because it's coming, right? Go-go, slow-go, and no-go. But in my line of work, I am at bedside, and many times I find people come and they share their heart with me. When you come to end of life, you're faced with your life and what it amounted to, but many people have regrets, remorse, sorrow for something they did not do in life that they wish they had done, or something they did towards someone that they still feel guilty about. Some words that were spoken, and one of my roles is to try to bring reconciliation, forgiveness, so that they can have peace within their spirit. Will we be able to be regret-free? Without a doubt, we cannot be regret-free because why? We're human. We'll make mistakes in our words and deeds. Other people will cause remorse and sorrow to us because they're human. But I don't know about you, but I'd like to live as regret-free as possible. Are you with me? Amen. And most certainly, as I call myself a Christian, and I think you do too, I don't want to be like Saul in the passage that we read. It said that the Lord grieved or he regretted that he made Saul king over Israel. What a sad commentary. I think all of us want to see Jesus and him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We don't want him to have remorse and regret over our lives. How can we be regret-free? Let me just share some few brief things that I think will help us live regret-free before we come to the Lord's table. To live regret-free, we must define and determine our relationships with others. We must be careful to set boundaries and sometimes be willing to end relationships when those people in our lives are bad influence or detrimental to our lives. Those who knew me at Naugatuck, one of my favorite expressions was, "Bad company corrupts good morals." But my interpretation is, if you hang with dogs, you're going to get fleas. And other people can cause us to have pain and regret and sorrow unless we're willing to put boundaries up or perhaps even bring closure to unhealthy relationships.
But some people enable others and their improper behavior bringing pain upon themselves. Is that not true? So I would suggest that we, and New Year's always a time to evaluate ourselves, to list all the people in your life, and beside those people either put a plus or a minus. All people count, so the negative doesn't mean they don't count, but if they're a positive influence, that's the plus. If they're a negative influence and they bring us down, that's the minus. And we're always going to have some minus signs of people in our life because we need to be salt and light and influence them, but we need a proper balance. Don't be like Charlie Brown, right? You remember Charlie Brown and Lucy? And Lucy and Charlie Brown would play football, and Lucy always promised to hold the football so Charlie Brown could kick the football, and I'm sure she made promises over and over and over again, and Charlie Brown was gullible enough, he believed her every time, right? And what did she do every time? She pulled the football away, and Charlie Brown was on his back. So define and determine the relationships you have so that they don't lead to regrets at the end of your life or throughout your life. Second thing, to live regret-free, we must manage our mouths and tame our tongues. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Have you ever regretted something you said to someone? You can't take it back. And words do hurt. You know that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yes, they do. Words are very painful, and we can't take them back out once they proceed out of our mouth. May God help us to manage our mouths and tame our tongues. James describes the tongue, and he asks this question, how can fresh and bitter water come out of the same fountain? But yet, as we look at our lives, sometimes that defines what comes out of our mouth. Sometimes it's positive, that which edifies, that which builds up, that which is positive, but at other times we are critical and we can tear down, we can gossip. And it will cause regret in relationship and breach of and break of up of relationship because of our tongues. So I would suggest that we manage our mouths and tame our tongues. Not only that which we do say, but maybe that which we don't say that we should say. If good men do nothing, evil will flourish. There are times we need to speak up and speak out against injustice, or to speak for what is right, or to speak in the name of the Lord. So for the new year, as we think about regret-free living, think about the words, measure the words, ask God to manage your mouth, to tame your tongue, so that we don't cause him regret or bring regrets upon ourselves or upon someone else. Third thing, to live regret-free, I think we must define what and who we value and set our priorities and commitments according to our values. What do you value most? Somebody. This is not a rhetorical question. Who do you value most? We'll say what? God. Family. I've heard family. Friends. What else? What? I couldn't hear you, Martha. Service. Service to others, service to God, those things that which we're passionate about. Nobody said money. Work is important. We ought to value our work and work hard. But health, without a doubt, health is very important. That ranks up there. You're no different from the Gallup poll that was conducted and is conducted often, 1,001 people. Those were all the top answers, right? But sometimes what we say we and espouse we value the most is not what we prioritize, is it? We say, oh, God first and then family, but then work takes the place of both of those and making money. I told my team at Vitas recently, I said, when we get to the end of our life, none of us are going to say, oh, I regret I did not spend more time at Vitas working. And none of us will say that on our deathbed, will we? Not that we shouldn't work hard to support our families and to work it heartily as unto the Lord and do the best we can do. But I would just suggest, as we think about regrets, remorse that we may feel at some point in our life, to write down, what do I value the most? And then determine, do my values match my priorities and how I spend my time, how I spend my money, how I serve God or others? It's a good exercise, I think, that will help us not have regrets end of life. Next thing, and we're winding down. This is more than a meditation, I know. But I hadn't preached in a while, so I enjoy sharing the truth of God's word. To live regret-free, I think we must fear God more than man. It's interesting, Saul, why did he bring regret? He did things his way. He tweaked what God told him. He was not obedient. He was told by God to destroy all the Amalekites, who were the enemy of God's people, to kill its king, and to kill all the animals. What did he do? He did it his way. He spared King Agag, and he spared the sheep, the cattle, and the choice animals. And he said, I did it with good intentions. I was going to sacrifice them to God. But Samuel found out, the prophet, and confronted him with it. And Saul tried to make excuse, but it still grieved the Lord because he was disobedient. And one of his excuses was, when he finally admitted his wrong, and that's the way we can think about our past. When we make mistakes, we can come, as we're going to come today, to the Lord's table. We can be forgiven. But the consequences of our sins sometimes remain, and that was true for Saul. He was removed as king of Israel, and God then chose David to take his place. He felt remorse and regret over what Saul had done in his disobedience. But Saul's excuse was, when he was confessing to Samuel in verse 24, he says, I have sinned, and I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord in your words. Why? He says, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. People, again, that are in our lives, we need to evaluate those relationships, and sometimes we listen to the voices of people, and we want to please people more than we want to please God. We might have regrets. We will have regrets if we do that. Saul had regret, I'm sure, just as God had regret over what he had done. The last thing I would share to live regret-free, and then we'll go into the Lord's table. To live regret-free, we must let go of our past sin and regrets, similar to what I just said, and begin to live the present and the future with commitment to live a life consecrated to God. That 100-year-old I read about in the paper, she says, I have a past, I have a present, but I don't know how long I have in the future at 100 years old. So she's living each day to the fullest, is what I got out of it. Still bowling. Even when it was 1 degree out, she was going to the bowling alley. We all have past regrets. I would have, could have, should have. If only I'd have done this. If only I'd have said this. It's unavoidable, right? Our disappointment, our discouragement. You know, we can confess it to God and He can forgive us. But who is the hardest person to forgive for us? Ourselves, right? Paul was able to say, I put the past behind me. That which I considered a priority, my education, my titles as a Jew, I count them all rubbish now for the cost of following Christ, or the privilege of following Christ. I count it as rubbish, as garbage, as dung, is what the word says in the Greek. We need to put the past behind us and begin to live for the present and for the future in a way that we would not have regrets. As we look to the future, Paul says, I press on toward the goal, toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. May we do that as well. A little booklet on peace, Joyce Meyer, popular speaker on TV, very good preacher, says this: if you try to live in the past, life will be hard. Jesus did not say he is the great I was. If you try to live in the future, it will be hard. Jesus did not say he is the great I will be. But if you take each day as it comes, life will work out all right. Jesus said, I am the great I am. I wrote this, and then we're going to close and come to the Lord's table. As long as we're living, and we're going to come to that point, we're in that no-go phase, and we're going to die, and it'll be too late to do what maybe we would have, could have, should have done, or wish we would have done. So I just wrote this as I was reflecting on regrets, and it's never too late, entitled this. It's never too late to give your heart to God through belief in his Son and receive salvation and eternal life. The only time it's too late is when we die. We have that choice as long as we're living. It's never too late to ask forgiveness and seek reconciliation with God and with others. It's never too late to continue your education, formal or informal. Don't ever stop being a student or a learner. It's never too late to start spending time with family and with those you love the most. Maybe you say, I hadn't been a good father, I hadn't been a good husband. I haven't spent the time, I haven't prioritized that which I really value most. It's not too late. It's never too late to make a bucket list and begin fulfilling it. I don't know if I have a formal one, but I'm trying to live each day to its fullest. It's never too late to begin serving God and become a part of his church and serving his church. It's never too late to begin doing what is right, even if most of our life has been defined by doing what is wrong. It's never too late to give attention to our health and take care of our bodies. You make your list of what you might want to do before it's too late. May we learn to live as his people, regret-free as possible, as we ask God to manage our mouth, determine our relationships, make our values line up with our priorities, and then forgetting that past and giving it over to God, finding his forgiveness, and begin to live in the present for his future, for his glory, for his kingdom, for his church. Amen.